the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later on this hour, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who will not in any way be discussing immigration. In no way. You know what we're going to be talking about today? Sarah, do you remember? Do you remember?
I don't.
Two words. Second is licking.
Oh, yeah. The foot licker.
Yeah. Foot licking charge. Man in Southern California faces several counts of a lewd act for licking the feet of young... By licking the feet of young boys after telling them he would put their feet in a TV commercial.
Oh, there are foot models and hand models around.
Yes. Sometimes the story is just... You know, the jokes are just right there. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Also, Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Here's a little bit of breaking news. And I don't even know that it's breaking news as such, because the news hasn't broken yet. It's, how do I put this? I'm not being very clear. We had at McCarthy last hour about Jimmy Hoffa's body. It's a whole, you know what it is? It's a whole lot of half news today. Last hour, Ed McCarthy from CNN about Jimmy Hoffa's body, which may or may not have found, bones that may or may not be there, digging which may or may not be done today, results which may or may not mean anything. Coming to the bottom of the hour, Jim Roop about foot-licking charge that may or may not go anywhere, that for guys who may or may not end up in a TV commercial. And then Laura Caviezel at CNN, who I think making a huge comeback in the...
She was on the ball today. I think maybe someone said something.
In terms of reliability and efficiency, her tote board is way up today, because she gave us the tip on a story that I had not even heard about, and because it's not anywhere on the prep sheet, and it wasn't even in the news that I saw this morning. Lisa Goddard may or may not be calling us, because is it the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
The Senate may, Tim, have you heard about this? The Senate may or may not be passing passing some sort of legislation today about English being the national language. Did you hear about this?
That's what Sarah Dillon told me earlier.
That's what I'm saying. So it's all very unclear.
And Laura, she made it sound all top secret and very exciting.
Well, so there you go.
That
so
is, something
we
sad.
May or may not be talking to Lisa Goddard about that. But foot licking, yes. 503-733-2970.
Well, do you have the segment from last night from Coin?
I do. We're going to play that here in just a moment.
All right.
That sounds good.
So we'll be playing the Coin sound here in just a few. What else? Guns N' Roses, actual real Guns N' Roses news. We will be having the inaugural edition of a brand new watch and so forth later on. Top five drum intros to a rock song. Jen Lane will be here and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. Should I? Well, let me see here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you're going to go see the Rockin' Blues of Steven Seagal at Dante's on Sunday.
Now, is that this coming Sunday? I thought it was in June.
No, this Sunday.
Damn, man, no one ever tells me anything. It's this Sunday at Dante's, and I swear to God, I know this sounds like a joke, but this is the Steven Seagal Blues Band.
Yes.
Now, are you...
I'm only going if you're going to go.
There's all this pressure now. Now, I was going to ask if you're going. So, has anyone out there... Does anybody know... About the Steven Seagal.
Do you have any music from them?
What do you think? Yeah, I got all their CDs. I got their box set, their whole oeuvre. I have nothing.
If you're going to play New Kids, you got to have Steven Seagal.
Okay, first of all, let's reflect on the weirdness of that statement and the fact that you just said it. And a combination of two things came out of your mouth that I didn't think I would ever hear combined in one sentence. It's like talking about the bacon and ice cream or something. I do not have any Steven Seagal blues music. B, the phones are now ringing insanely because I'm gathering that somebody out there does have Steven Seagal. If you have music, I'm not encouraging illegal file sharing. But
Send it.
Okay, but you are. Sir, in fact, here's the thing. I cannot endorse, promote, condone, or encourage the illegal sharing or file trading of music. What is your name, sir?
Dan.
So, Dan, I'm now going to pause for a few moments, and I would like you to arrange for me to hear some Steven Seagal blues music from the audience. I'll just be quiet. Go ahead.
I will try my best.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thanks. I don't have any. I don't have any.
No, Dan, you're blowing the bit. Here, no.
Sorry.
Here, listen. Okay, listen carefully. See if you can lead up to this.
It's funny how it's always everybody else's fault. Everyone else is
Dan,
always blowing it.
Be quiet. Now, Dan, I myself cannot ask people to send me a copy of a Steven Seagal song because I, Rick Emerson, cannot endorse file sharing via the Internet. So I'm going to be quiet now and let you speak to the people.
Send it, please. We need to hear more Steven Seagal Blues Band.
Okay, and so thank you. There, see, there you go. I don't know. He was going to be doing this in-store. I can't believe the whole show's been hijacked by Steven Seagal, but he was going to be doing this in-store at Music Millennium, said one of our contacts there, and then he bailed out because he was, quote, afraid that if people came to see him and get their signed stuff there, they would then not show up at Dante's, which is, by the way, a completely justified fear and accurate assessment.
It's hard finding a place to park.
And maybe he couldn't fit in Music Millennium.
I just hung up on everybody.
No call back.
Okay, I just hung up on all three lines at once. There was... It's not my fault. It is my fault. It was Dan's fault.
They'll never call back.
Here's what just happened. There were... Hello?
Hi, it's the power of George.
Oh, God.
Clearing the board for myself.
All right. No, seriously, hold on. Seriously, there was... I was talking to Dan, and then the other lines were ringing, and you were distracted by a bright, shiny object, and so I went to put the lines on hold.
I was trying to find a Steven Seagal song for you.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. No, but then I inadvertently hung up on everyone at once. But apparently it was just George. We've talked before about how George has the magical ability to get through no matter how busy the lines are. It's completely weird. Okay, what have you got, George?
Well, I'm out of the loop because I've been taping the show. I've been out in the garden. But I have to know, how is it, my friend, that you can even function when you're so close to such an incredible white-hot beauty as Sarah Dillon? I just realized last night watching the footage. That's true. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm kissing up, but she's damn hot. I've never realized that before.
I would never realize it. You have eyes? Where have you been?
Yeah, but I've been,
watching this show from inside a burlap sack?
I'm a man of the TV, you see. So anyway, but that's aside the point. I just wanted to know, did you notice how when the guy said we need to vote with our rifles?
Then they cut off me saying, don't do that.
Yeah, and then you're nodding your head instead.
Yeah. Thank you, Coyne.
That was a big lesson in the media. Thank you very much for that lesson.
Yeah. Now I'm one of those guys that can go on a magazine article and claim that I've been taken out of context by the mass media.
Exactly. And watch out for the man. He might be after you now.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And take care.
All right. There you go. Let me ask you this.
What?
Does it weird you out when guys call up and are talking about you in the third person to me and how smoking hot you are?
Well, I never know what to say. I just kind of sit here like an idiot.
No, see, I would just totally... If I were you, I would just be completely basking in it. I'd be getting as much free stuff from guys as I could right now.
We all know that Tim is the looker of the show, though.
It really is true. Yeah, but he's... but it's with Tim, it's a subtle beauty. He doesn't like to, he doesn't like to just, to be over the top with it. You know what I mean?
No.
Tim, it's a... All right. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. There used to be anyway. Now it's just the, hi, who's this?
This is Tony.
Tony, what have you got? Are you calling about Steven Seagal, blues legend?
No, I'm on my way back, from work in my work truck, and I just saw something I thought you might be interested in.
Okay. All right.
49th and Powell. Some guy on a bike just got hit by a car, and he's still laying on the hood of the car halfway through the windshield.
Damn.
And that's the second accident in that area.
Seriously, this is the 39th and Powell last night. There was a horrific accident, which we'll talk about here in a while. And here I thought it was going to be something kooky. How do I put this? Does he look dead? Does it look like he's bad? Like he's dead? I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just trying to figure out the severity. Well, yeah. So I'm trying to figure the severity of the accident. So this is first of all, let's give people a warning. So 49th and Powell, you want to stay away from then.
Yeah, westbound. Definitely don't head westbound.
Westbound 49th and Powell, stay away from that. So is it a car, an SUV? What kind of vehicle?
Looks like a station wagon.
Station wagon, and there was a bicyclist who was in the windshield.
Yeah, half in, half out, laying on the hood.
Oh, God damn! And was the ambulance there?
Fire truck and a cop car so far.
God, that's terrible. And this was just a couple minutes ago.
I just drove by there about 2 minutes ago.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for the heads up, Tony. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, there you go. So 49th and Powell, kids, don't stay away from there. And look both ways when crossing. Yeah, this is a bad...
Powell's a bad street anyway.
I have become... Powell's a really bad street, and I've become... And again, you all know me. I'm not some critical mass a-hole. I'm not some bike Nazi or whatever, but you gotta be careful out there. You're biking, and I'm not trying to put it on the bicyclist. who know, I don't know what the situation was. I'm not trying to put it on him. But clearly, if you're driving a car, you got to be looking around and responsible. But if you're on a bicycle, man, you gotta just assume if you're on a bike, as I do, and Terry, you probably do the same thing. You got to assume that you're surrounded by drunken maniacs, not because you are necessarily, because you never know when you're going to be. And man, and it's like that is a face off. You will lose. So I am the first guy to yield to cars, and it's like you got to have your head on a swivel all the time because you never know when there's just some guy going to be banking around.
Especially going up Hawthorne and when people are making right turns and you're kind of in between Grand Avenue and like 12th.
I nearly got hit the other day in that same area.
I've killed there like three times and people just cars all of a sudden make a right turn right in front of you while you're going straight.
And I bicycled with you. You're not a bad, not a crazy, the road belongs to me bicyclist. And there are some of those around. There are some of the bicyclists that think they are cars, and you are not in any way, especially when you have a collision. That's when you really find out. So I'm not saying the situation here, but so 49th and Powell, so don't go there. That was a big buzzkill. Wait, show's all brought down. Well, I'll get these calls in just a second here. And then we'll do the coin news. But speaking of, I'm going to talk about this other accident, and not to be morbid, but because it was not, I was looking for news coverage of this other car accident on coin, but it was overshadowed by this fire. So this is me. So last night, and if anybody lives in on the southeast part of town, like 39th and Powell, because that's that Safeway right there at 39th and Powell. That's my Safeway. That's where I go. That's where I had the embarrassing Daria experience a while back. And you know, right? I live right by there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to the Safeway last night, and I'm standing in line, and there's like a loud, whatever, like a colliding sound, a loud crunching sound, and then you hear the sirens. And it's just so morbid. We're standing in line, right? This is like, 10 o'clock or so. I'm standing in line to check. And immediately, all the checkers, they all start checking at like three times normal speed. And then, I swear to God, they announce like, we're all going over to the window to look at the car for just a moment. Please be patient. So all the checkers and all the customers.
They actually announced that?
I'm pretty sure I heard that announcement. But it's like, my checker's like, oh, I got to get this bag so I can walk over to the window. Hold on. There's a car overturned. And I went out to 39th and Powell last night, and there was indeed, man, it was a bad, bad scene. There was a car, like a big station wagon, in the middle of the 39th and Powell intersection, windshield smashed out, literally parts of the car seat scattered in the road, like the parts of the upholstery into the seats, on its side. Like, I don't know if it had rolled over or if it just rolled halfway, but it was up on its side. There was another car that looked like a little Focus or a CRX, kind of one of those kind of smaller cars. Front end, back end, completely destroyed. A third car that had spun out. It was a three-car collision. One of the cars rolled over. And the whole 39th and Powell was closed for like 2 hours last night. And of course, here's me. You know what? I'm just the ugliest American you can possibly think of, right? So I'm by the Safeway, but the collision is more over by the catty corner corner over there by where the Dunkin' Donuts used to be. So what do? I like bicycle around to the other side so that I can get the photograph of the car with my cell phone because I didn't know if anybody was going to be talking about it. I thought, well, this might be a huge story tomorrow. I'm a journalist. I should have a photographic record. So I got a picture of the car on its side. And then I got a picture of one of the drivers being arrested and like shoved into the back of the squad car. Oh. So I might post those later. He looked to be about 9 sheets to the wind, but that might have just been my assessment.
Yeah, but everyone in that side of town is anyway.
Well, it is Southeast Portland. What are you going to do? It's right between like a check cashing place too and like an advance on your payday, advance on your car title place. So, all right. Well, let me get this call here and then we'll play the coin sound. Hi, Rick Emerson. Who's this?
Justin.
Hi, Justin, what's up? You're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Yeah, man, that was kind of morbid, is what that was.
Yeah, that whole thing, especially me last night, I can't get anything on my phone from this angle. I got to pedal around to the other side so I can really get the twisted metal. Yeah.
The other one to call about is the Seagal Show, the 28th.
Well,
you have a chance to make it.
Do you what?
You have a chance to make it.
How so?
It's the 28th. It's not this Sunday.
It's not this coming Sunday. It is the 28th of May.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to have him on?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. Because I haven't had time to really recalibrate my thinking because we were operating under the assumption that it was in June. So I will, I'll ask Susan Reynolds in marketing here. She can corral many people. I'll see if she can get us a little Steven Seagal love. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for bringing the show back up, sir.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, life is for the living, and nothing says life like the Steven Seagal Blues Band and Dante. So there you go.
Sure does.
Let's just break.
All right. Well, let's break. We'll come back with it. We'll play the coin news from last night, wherein a listener encourages armed rebellion against the government, and I am seen nodding my head in silent assessment. No, not assessment. The word.
Agreement?
No, it's that word that starts with ass.
Acknowledgement?
No, it's as.
Ascertain?
No, it's
Assertion?
No, it's assent. I need some more coffee. Hey, we're going to take this break. We'll come back. The Rick Emerson Show. We'll try to suck 30% less on the other side of this break. Don't you go anywhere. See you at radio correspondent Jim Rope coming up. It's the AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there.
Teach a man how to be a father to never tell his woman he can't bother. You can't say you don't know what I'm talking about. One day.
Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so more news. So what is it? Sunset Highway? Is that?
Yeah, Highway 26 eastbound is all three lanes are shut down because of an accident. Some guy, it might be a medical problem. Something happened. All lanes are shut down eastbound at the zoo.
The whole world is going to hell and we're all goners.
She has trapped in her blood, I tell you.
Listen to how you just... Okay, now... Do that, though, as though you were on coin this morning. Do that with the coin news 6 trap. Hold on, let's clear the...
She get about 5 seconds to do it.
All right, so...
before handing on to the weather guy.
Let me throw it to you. And now, with a look at the traffic, here's our own Sarah Dillon.
Well, reports of an incident eastbound on the Sunset are causing some big delays this morning. It's right at the zoo now. It looks like somebody was having a medical problem. And for some reason, all lanes are now blocked eastbound on the Sunset. So try and avoid that area if you can. Possibly take 217 and then go ahead and take I-5 northbound up into the city if that's where you usually go on your morning commute. Let's check in with Mark Ronchetti with a look at your forecast.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Look at that genius right there.
That's professional.
That is gold. Mm-hmm. All right. It's 503-733-2970. You know, some people have got it, and some people have got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's that. So the Sunset, the highway's bad.
Powell's bad.
49th and Powell's bad. Just don't just stay
26
home.
26 is bad on any day, really.
Seriously. Yeah, it's not like the normal smooth flow of traffic that whizzes through there most of the time. By the way, speaking of Steven Seagal, which we were a while back, this is how great CBS Radio is. This is what it's like to work in the massive nerve center of American media that is CBS Radio. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Steven Seagal, because why wouldn't you? Guy calls up and he's like, are you going to be seeing Steven Seagal's Blues Band at Dante's? And I said, when? And he said, the 28th. And I said, whoa! And so we go to the break, literally, like 10 seconds after we go to break. My cell phone rings. It's Susan Reynolds at CBS Radio Marketing for Portland. And she says, I'm on it right now. I'm trying to get in studio and tickets. So I'll let you know. I got to go. Wham! And like, she was there. She did the work. She was out. So they're springing into action.
She's awesome.
And she really is fantastic, but I'm not blowing smoke. It's just so weird that...
We're used to having people do nothing
for us. That's what I'm just like. It takes us so long. It's not to learn to trust people as such, but it just, we're so used to...
We've been scorned before.
Being ignored.
Well, and we had nothing. We had nothing. And so, like, I'm not going to mention other companies that are called Fisher and Intercom, but we had nothing. Otherwise, no one would ever help us with anything.
Yeah, we have a banner for you, but we don't have any scotch tape, so you can forget it.
And it's a banner with the wrong frequency. And would you like to take the fan vehicle out with you? I remember when we worked at Fisher being sent out on an event and they would send the KWJJ vehicle with us. That was the Fisher broadcasting method right there. And before Bruce calls and starts getting up at my grill about this, in terms of
you didn't just say up in my grill.
It was ironic. In terms of you know, on-air content and developing the show, yes, they were very good. Yeah. Par excellence, made the show what it is today. I'm talking about in terms of promotion and financial support and whatnot. They would send us out to some live remote and be like, look, the Rick Emerson Show is going to be on site. We'll send the KWJJ van with you. Like, for what possible reason? Why would I possibly want the KWJJ van sent anywhere with me?
Didn't they send you to Winco once?
They did. I probably. anyway.
And they wouldn't let us drink on the job.
Sons of bitches. All right. You're dead to me. All right. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
I love LA.
Jim Roop from the City of Angels. How are you, sir?
I am well. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's another fantastic day in Portland, Jim.
Yeah.
How is life in Southern California? Is it satisfying in every possible way?
It is more than satisfying, sir.
All right. You just sound so... You only have two modes. I'm not suggesting that you partake in any sort of the consumption of... I mean, I'm not saying you're drunk. All I'm saying is that you have two modes. You have the Rick Emerson seethingly bitter at being surrounded by a legion of fools mode. And then you just have this sort of Jimmy Buffett mode you slip into sometimes where you just sound so laid back and just zen with all things. And that's how you sound today.
Oh, that's where I am today?
Excellent.
Maybe I'm just tired, I guess.
Or high or something. Maybe it's just carbon monoxide. Who knows? It's not every day that I get a story that crosses my desk that contains the phrase... Licking the feet of young boys.
Yeah.
And I would...
Somebody's action trial.
Yeah, even in California, it's probably not too often that you talk about this. So what is... Now, let's clarify right now when they say committing lewd acts upon a child. Now, what age are we talking about, and what is this story?
Under 14.
That's just it. I mean, it's...
Even by California standards.
Even by the state. And you people are savages down there, but even by your admittedly low standards of humanity, Jim.
That has to be a cutoff.
It's weird.
Guess freshmen in high school is a pretty good cutoff.
I guess. So what is the story? How did said foot licking take place?
Well, this guy's been, he's been in trouble before, and there are plenty of charges against him for this. But what happens is, he's a well-dressed guy. He goes up to young boys, and in this particular instance, and he comes up with different scenarios, but this one, he said that he was, casting a commercial for Johnson & Johnson, and they need the feet of young boys, and they would pay them $1,500 every time their feet are in the commercial, but he has to inspect their feet first, would they remove their shoes and socks.
Now, are any parts of the story true? In other words...
Well, according to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, yes.
No. I'm not saying are any parts of this news story. I'm saying are any parts of this guy's story.
No, he's a homeless guy.
Okay, so this is a complete scam. So there is no, it's not like he's some casting director just playing on the side.
No, he's just some idiot.
He's just some guy.
He's just some goofy guy.
All right.
Yeah.
And so where did he find these boys?
In a park. And, playing around in a park, you know.
And so he would just walk up and be like, look, I've got $1,500 a day, but I'm going to have to inspect your toes.
Got to see them because, you know, if they don't pass the inspection, then, you can't be in the commercial. So let's take a look. Take a lick.
I don't know why that struck me so funny. So he would have these boys take off their shoes in the park.
Mm-hmm.
He would then presumably bend down to...
He would bend down, pick them up in his hands. He would smell them and then lick the bottom. Sick, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, again, I don't care what anybody's turned on by, but A, 14-year-old boys, and B,
I know, it's just nutty. Even Jim Amarmino, who's the spokesperson for the Sheriff's Department and who spent 24 years in the LAPD, said, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, here's something. I have made many, 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 many observations about the foot fetishists among us on this program because it is interesting to me. And, you know, society has many people who are... This is, look, you spend any time on the Internet, and you know that there's a lot of people out there with foot fetishes, which is fine. I'm not looking down on anyone. Here's a thing that he's curious...
Well, you can't do to see their feet.
I'm sorry. Oh, wait, hold on. That's worthy of the... where did our sound effect go? That really is... There you go. Here's what I am curious about, though, and I'm not asking this because I expect that you really have an answer for it. And if you do, that perhaps takes us down a whole different alley. But if you spend any amount of time online, and if you spent, I mean, maybe for journalistic or research purposes, you have spent any time looking for adult material.
I have, for work.
Perhaps, yes, because you were doing a story about the proliferation of filth online.
It's true. When the porn industry went offering their movies online, I had to do a story on one particular company, Vivid Entertainment, and I had to research them.
Is that true? Did you really have to do that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good times. But the foot fetish stuff that I see online is interesting to me because unlike a traction, because you always hear, look, there are whatever, there's a leg guy and there's the guy, you know, there's a boob guys and there's leg guys and there's women who are in the your eyes and women who are in the, like, your, you know,
nostrils.
Whatever. Nostrils, biceps, whatever.
Riley.
If you're a nostril man. But the difference between those things and the foot fetishes, I see some things online about foot, and it's always like, especially if you read, like, the personals, like, you'll see this, like, I want a woman whose feet haven't been washed in 9 months. You know, it's like, I want a woman who's just walked through mud and dog droppings. And just, you know, I want a woman with 4-inch toenails that have never been cleaned. And you just, you don't see that with other attractions to specific body types. You don't see a longing for a dirty and unclean body. It's just very strange. I realize now, having waded hip deep into this, there's nowhere to go.
Why don't they just go on public transportation?
Just go on the bus. Just go on the train.
Well, feet by nature are funky, so you have to understand that anybody who has a fetish for that funky part of the body is going to want to increase the funk factor.
I'm going to excerpt that you saying increase the funk factor, by the way. We have a friend of ours who is a hip-hop artist. I'm just going to give that to him, have him drop that in all over his song.
Okay, I'll give you the right stuff.
All right. I realize now that there's really nowhere else we can take this, and there's no comment.
Isn't that true? I mean, that's a pretty disgusting part of the body.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that feet are disgusting.
Because they're either in a shoe, sweaty and stinky, or they're walking around in on the floor where there's Lord knows what's been on there, or outside. I mean, it's dirty by nature. Not that people don't clean their feet, and they do, but once they step out of the shower, it's contaminated already. Because they hit the floor.
It's true, and your feet sweat a lot, too.
Yeah. So anybody who has a foot fetish is going to want them to be funky.
I guess. I
think he's rescued you from the story.
He's throwing me a rope.
Sarah, I'm just trying to reason it out.
Sarah was just holding up her foot and mouthing something. What were you saying? Are your feet sweaty right now?
Well, no, they're not, but I wear, my chucks without socks. And so,
really?
Yeah.
Why? Just like a fashion thing?
No, I just wear them every day. Just
shoes without socks.
Well, I don't
bike. Your feet chafe?
No, I bike ride every day. I don't want big sock lines.
That is true.
Yeah, that would be bad. Nobody
we should do a whole section of this program just for the foot fetishists. We should start describing every day the condition of your feet.
I think you might be a foot fetishist.
I'm really not, but it is fascinating to me.
It is interesting. And when I did the story, I kept wanting to ask. I wanted to talk to this guy and say, what?
Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, what is it?
And because I noted the other day, I just wonder if that's a thing that, like, comes from your mom wearing brightly colored socks around the house as a child, or is that just something in your brain that just is wired that way? It is fascinating.
It's got to be some sort of disconnect or short circuit or something.
It is true. All right. Well, I guess as this case progresses, I'll find more and more excuses to bring it up.
Let's hope so.
All right. Jim Roop, thank you so much. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
My pleasure.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent in Los Angeles.
That was highly educational.
It's true. Well, look, I try to provide a vast array of... No, if I had a foot fetish, I would admit it. There's no shame in that.
No.
I think it's your secret fetish.
It's not. No.
I know, I'm not saying that I think... I just really do think that...
It is fascinating to me. I will admit that.
Yeah, you do have, you ask a little too many questions about it.
Because it's so interesting. I do find it very, very interesting and fascinating. It really is, to me, the most interesting of all the sort of common fetishes.
Not the sneezing fetish?
Well, but see, again, that one, it's like...
That's weird.
It's like, where does that come from that it turns you on to see a woman sneezing? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. That's one of those things that it is sort of anecdotal evidence to me that all sexual orientation just has to, all of it has to be genetic, because what could happen to you in your childhood or in your formative years to make you a sneeze fetishist? I mean, it's just so random. And that there's enough people out there that there's actual websites dedicated to it. It's just the whole thing really is very fascinating to me. We should get somebody on to answer these questions.
Why?
Listen to that inquisitive journalistic mind
right there.
Always thirsty and hungry for knowledge. Always always desiring to get to the bottom of stories. All right.
Are we going to play that coin thing?
Yeah.
We've been waiting for like an hour and a half here.
I guess we could get to it. Yes, I.
It's gonna be great.
All right. Well, I was just waiting for the stuff. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right. So last night we were on coin.
That has been established. Yes.
They came. Coin came and they filmed us yesterday in the studio for like 1 to 1:30, and we cued everybody to pretend to be a real news program. Now, to give you some sense of context, I'm going to play you the last time we were on Coin. Now, the audience has come a long way in pretending to know what they're talking about, because as you know, we played the secret sounder. Audience, the listeners call up, and they would pretend to care about this issue, so that we could get onto Coin and whore the station out relentlessly. So here's the last time we were on Coin.
And in the meantime, pockets are growing.
This is their fault, by the way, their microphone.
Radio waves of Portland. Thank you.
Bye.
Broadcasting live and broadcasting parts of the steamy emails.
Let's see.
You could rub your hands all over my body.
The police chief, Derek Foxworth, is accused of sending a police desk clerk 6 years ago.
When I walk in, I will probably push you against the wall and kiss you passionately. I want you to be completely submissive and just follow my lead.
And several callers to the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 say they've had enough.
And dreading a Star F inquisition into the personal foibles of our chief of police.
The media always blows these things out of proportion. That's just what they do.
But others say it's not the content of the emails that bothers them. It's the person accused of sending them.
He's the chief. He's the head honcho. You can't be using your power over people like that. You just can't do it. It's not right. You're supposed to look up to this guy.
Foxworth wasn't chief at the time he's accused of sending these emails, but he was the woman's superior.
All right, so there you go. So that's the last time we did. And it is
porn music is the best thing ever.
And it's actual porn music from a real porn film from Todd Gorger's personal porn collection playing in the background there. So bring it porn music home to you as well. So yesterday they came in, they film us. And Dean, the poor camera guy, I don't know if he's the one who edits it or if he just films it.
I think he edits it.
Really? Yeah. So Dean comes up and he films like 20 minutes. And there were some really good calls yesterday. But then I think it must have been Mike Donahue, who was the anchor on the story, who must have seen the raw footage and realized that we just don't know what the hell we're talking about. And we were just desperately pretending like we knew. Because he throws in this comment about how it's in a tongue-in-cheek fashion, Rick Emerson, blah, blah, blah. Now, I've cut out the boring middle part of this story.
Yeah, because we don't want to see a TV news story.
Well, and because the irony is, it's a story about, because the whole thrust of the story is about the fact that no one voted, right? So think about this. It's like a 6-minute story, and that's like 10 hours in television time. Devoting 6 minutes to a story that, by definition, they know no one cares about. That's kind of the irony. But we're at the beginning and we're at the end. Now listen to how at the end, they take this one quote, like the one quote you would think that you would not want to use, which is where the guy talks about like armed revolution against the government, and that's what they go out on. That's the tag. So here we go. This is from last night's Coin 6.
Well, Kelly, for one thing, there wasn't much mudslinging. This primary just didn't appear on the radar of most voters.
The question has to be asked, Mike, what does that say about us as a society?
Yeah. With tongue-in-cheek, talk show host Rick Emerson asked his listeners why they should care enough to vote.
You know, like you said, freedom isn't free, and, you know, if it costs a stamp, that's a small price to pay.
Over at Democratic headquarters, as you would expect, Republicans are being blamed for the apathy.
I believe that we're seeing the effects of a national cynicism about government.
Voters are very frustrated and they're dissatisfied.
Of course, party chairman Neil Pender doesn't mean they're frustrated and dissatisfied with his party's standard bearer, just with the other guy. But political observer Jim Moore says that feeling is universal.
Voters increasingly do not see a connection between politics
watching a tree grow
and their own lives.
As a result, says Moore, we are becoming elected interest groups. And if you don't belong, you don't vote. Turnout in November, he says, will depend on how much interest the candidates
really
for governor
needs a traffic
can generate,
accident in the middle of it.
Whether they start fighting and spending their media millions in August.
Wait, here
and
we go.
People will say, aha, an election is coming up. They'll get the telegraph from the election process. They'll start paying attention, and that by itself.
And wait, here we go. Back to the good stuff. Now, listen.
And the only way to really make a change anymore, I believe, is to band together and vote with our rifles.
If it doesn't, why then would these you comments say that? Of Rick Emerson's radio listeners made in jest in May will ring true in November.
Oh, so he's hoping
people
for armed reservation.
Don't have any faith in their city or state government.
I'm holding the ballots of two people who didn't bother to vote.
All right, there you go, there you go. All right, so they take the 1 3-second, the guy, rise up against the man, and that's what they use. But as you noted, here's how they edit it, right? Because if you listen to yesterday's show, the guy calls up and he says, well, Rick, we don't have any faith left in our government, so the only thing to do is vote with your rifles. To which I immediately say, like, no, do not vote with your rifles. CBS Radio does not condone. Yet when you watch this on Coin, I'll bring the DVD in the market. Sarah didn't see it. When you watch this on Coin, the guy is saying, vote with your rifles. And then on the screen, as he's saying that, here's me nodding my head up and down as though like, yes, do it now. You go steal a gun. I mean, so there you go. So there's I've been misrepresented once again by the liberal media.
Well, I hope they come back.
All right, they go. Wasn't that the... They're not going to come back. I think yesterday was the end of our of Cohen coming and filming us. Because here's the thing is I don't think the anchors I don't think were privy before to exactly what they had to sift through.
I told the news director, he's like, oh, so now we can do like correspondence, you know, like with he's been on CNN and stuff. I'm like, I just didn't know what to say. I didn't want to tell him that we were what we are.
This program is retarded. That's what you want to say. But I don't, in the past, I don't think that they've seen the sausage being made. I think that the anchors have just seen the wheat. And I suspect, though, from the fact that Mike Donahue put in the phrase, in tongue-in-cheek fashion, mm-hmm. I suspect that he watched the whole tape of us, like, desperately trying not to laugh and coaching the listeners on what to say. And playing, like, what was our call-in sound? Which, that. I suspect that he probably can't hear that, and then in good conscience, journalistically refer to it as a good show.
Larry King wouldn't use that.
No, he really would not. We should break here. Get ahead of the curve there. Take a break. We'll come back. Have we gone to the city desk?
Well, no, but we kind of talked about current events. It's in the same general area, isn't it?
We did talk about the foot licking, so, you know, we got that out of the way. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's what's coming up. We're going to inaugurate a new watch. We have a new watch on the way. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine will be here. What else? We got the top 5 drum intros to a rock and roll song. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's the Mr. T Experience.